Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the angels with nur and the jinn from fire and the human being from clay, from soil. From an external viewpoint, if we look and see, then the lowest status in terms of the material property that he's been manufactured from is the human being, because we say that the earth, the soil, is lower grade and dirty. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that I have created the human being unique, in a unique way, with clay, with soil. The earth, the soil, or clay, when we look at it, it looks dirty in comparison to nur and light. And this misconception that first came around, that shaitan had this misconception or deception. And shaitan, upon this point where he felt that, what's the situation here? I am created from something superior, something better. And this man, he's created from clay, soil. How can I prostrate to him, to man? And this, you can say, rotated in his mind and it put him off. Or he had this misconception and this wrong thought that I am afdal, I am greater, nur, I'm better than the clay, the soil. And then all of his kamalat, all of his qualities were finished. He rejected. And he was high status. He was the abid. The abid, and he was the knowledgeable, he was the zahid, he was the alim. He had the qualities, multitude of qualities, multiple qualities. And then he became the wretched shaitan, the cursed shaitan, who was expelled. So he was looking externally at the form and the quality of clay and soil. But in reality, Allah Ta'ala said, this is what I've done, I've manufactured him, human being. Adam alayhi salam, Safi Allah, was created from clay. Khalilullah was created from clay. Zabiullah was created from clay, soil. Kalimullah was created from clay, from the soil. Ruhullah was created from clay. Habibullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was created from clay. So how can the clay, the soil, the earth be of a lower grade in status? It cannot be. 124,000 Prophets of Allah, the greatest congregation, and they're created from clay. And then the greatest group of men, and then after that the companions, the noble companions, the tabi'een, the taba tabi'een, and the pious people, the friends of Allah, the ghaws, the kutubs, the abdals, the walis of Allah, who were all created from what? Manufactured from clay, soil, earth. So how can this be the point that earth or clay is lower grade than whatever else is there? So in reality, we have not recognized what we have been made from or what we are. We don't consider ourselves to be important or of any, with any objective. In reality, for example, Allah Ta'ala says that when the person who is deceased and is lowered into the grave, this is the sunnah of Rasulullah. So the first grains of soil that are thrown onto that person, the pieces of soil, it is stated that you were created from this same clay and soil, and you're going back into that same soil. So you're being lowered into that soil. And then the third piece is thrown. And from this earth, so you came from this earth, the first throw, the second throw, you're being returned to this soil, and you will rise. So your zawal is, your end is with the soil, your beginning was with the soil. And the person who can understand the reality and the importance of the soil and the clay is successful, and the one who doesn't understand will be unsuccessful. So in reality, the reality or the status of the earth and the soil that we have come from, that we will go to, how can it not be significant? How can it not be great? Allah Ta'ala has created all of mankind from this. So the reality of the earth, the soil, is something else. There's a point that we need to understand. Externally we see something, but we need to understand it. What is the quality, the characteristic? Why is Allah Ta'ala put high status and given it high quality on in the earth and the soil, that Allah manufactured the human being from this? The reality of the earth, the soil, is what? is that it has all of the combination and the collection of akhlaq within the quality of the earth. And Allah Ta'ala says that akhlaq is the highest thing in my eyes. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that that individual, the best individual, who is the best person? It is stated who has the best conduct, the best manners, the best social relations. Who will get the highest status? Whose akhlaq and manners and conduct is the best. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I came to the world for this reason, to complete akhlaq, to complete the subject and the example of akhlaq. And everything is based on akhlaq. And akhlaq is present totally in the earth, in the dirt, in the soil. So the person who becomes like the earth, he attains the whole maqam of akhlaq. What is earth? The soil. It is the collection of all of the kamalat of the prophethood. Yeah, big point. Big point. All of the kamalat, the specialities of prophethood, it is there contained within the soil, the earth. The quality, the characteristics. So it's great, great level a person attains. If he, a person, lowers himself and humbles himself to the qualities and characteristics of the soil, then he attains the akhlaq. The conduct. So as long as we consider the earth and soil is dirty, lower, or unclean and not fit for purpose and shouldn't touch us, then we will be wretched in the dunya. But when we start to be similar to the qualities of the soil and the earth, we will attain the highest levels, the balandi. There's hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ that the person who leaves this world humble and sincere, then Allah will give him the status amongst the highest point in the hereafter. The highest point. Now, have we ever looked at the earth? The soil. Let's put something into the earth. Into soil, into the dust. Something good, bad, whatever. The earth will not reject it. It doesn't matter how bad is that chemical or liquid. It will absorb it and hide it. You won't even realize where is that thing gone. Yeah, the earth will absorb it, mix with it. It's gone into the earth and the earth has protected that that item that's being thrown into it. So that's called hiding. Hiding whatever's there to cast a veil upon whatever falls upon it. So this is a kamal, this is a sift, this is a quality of a person. You can't get this from ibadah. Only by lowering yourself to the status of earth and soil will a person hide the qualities or the bad properties of other people or other things. And today in our environment and society, from morning till evening, we are inquiring, analyzing. We want to hear about somebody, something, so we can tell other people. We want to hear about the secrets of some family or household. Oh, may Allah forgive. I'm not ridiculing that person. You know his daughter, what she did. Oh, look at his daughter-in-law, what she did the other day. Do you hear what she did the other day? Have you heard about that brother's son? Oh, may Allah forgive. May Allah forgive. May Allah forgive. I'm not saying anything bad about anyone, but just look what's happened here. What they've done. All day long, a person does these actions. That some fresh news comes, so he can publicize and advertise. In the nights, 12, 1 o'clock, 1 a.m., men and women, sisters, brothers, they're busy gossiping, gossip-mongering, talking about others. Allahu Akbar, we have such bad akhlaq today in the ummah. What is the status of our ummah? Where will our ibadat go? Where? But the earth, the soil, remember, if you throw liquid or solid, whatever onto the earth, it will take it, absorb it, hide it. The same way we should say, I don't know about this person. Did you hear about this? No, I don't know about this person. I don't even know who this person is. I have no knowledge about this person. The reward for that, to hide, to conceal the faults of others, or the facts about this. Whatever you hear, you see someone's talking about someone else, you say, no, I've got nothing with this. No, listen, quickly, listen. How dare you that you from your tongue speak about someone or you speak about somebody's faults or anything about anyone? No. We shouldn't even think to do this. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has given the reward that on the day of Hashr, on the day of judgment, there will come a time when there will be an example of loss cast in front of the people. Those people who consider themselves high, big and lofty, powerful, strong, and they had all of the influence. Allah Ta'ala says they will be made to see the loss, and it will be shown to others their loss, that look in reality what these people were. In front of others in the world, in front of all of mankind, Allah will make them naked and show what they did. All their deeds will be made apparent, that he used to do these dirty, impure actions. Allahu Akbar. So this will be the day where a person will earn, or he will see his loss in reality. Those people who died before us a week ago, 3 days ago, they're in that testing ground now. They've seen the reality. So that person who struggled, who strived, who made effort. Brothers, we need to make effort. We need to understand, what are we here for? Those people who passed away a week ago, or a few days ago, the janazah took place. They've gone, they've departed. So after today, don't do this action again in life. Look at the reward Allah gives. That when people will be at loss, when such a big sin will be seen vividly, and Allah Ta'ala will call that person. But the person who concealed other people, Allah Ta'ala will hide that person within veils, behind veils. And he'll be amazed that Allah... That Allahu Akbar, that Allah Ta'ala says, you in the earth conceal the faults of my creation, and today I, your Lord, will conceal your faults. Tell me, what can make us reach to this position for this reward? That which sajda, which prostration in the night will give us this reward on the Day of Judgment? Which worship act will give us this position on the Day of Judgment? Which amal will give us this position, this reward on the Day of Judgment? Tell me, is there anything? No. But only when we humble ourselves and lower ourselves and take in that quality of akhlaq. Akhlaq is the high, high grade for a human being. Just we need to control ourselves and our desires. What need do we have to talk about this? Allah Ta'ala says that words came to you. Discussion came to you and you saw that you have... Allah Ta'ala says that you cast a veil. You hid the faults of others while you were living on the earth, and today I hide your faults, Allah says. And Allah Ta'ala, if He's hiding our faults on the Day of Judgment, obviously that person will go to paradise, isn't it? So for this, we don't need a prayer mat, we don't need wudu. What do we need? We need something else to attain this rank, to get to this position of great akhlaq. Now let's look at the earth again. The akhlaq is hidden within the earth. You put one seed in the earth, one seed, yeah, in the soil. You haven't planted a tree. Has anybody planted a tree into the soil to make other things grow? We put one seed in the soil, in our garden or in the field. And what does that seed do in the earth? The earth will transform it. You get a whole tree full of fruits. Subhanallah. And you have the mangoes, you have the apples, you have oranges. And did you plant that tree in the earth? No, you put one seed. And look at the reaction. And look at what happened and what the earth and the soil did with that seed and what it gave to us. So Allah Ta'ala says that when I give one ni'mah to any individual, that Allah Ta'ala, has He not given us a ni'mah, a reward? You think Allah Ta'ala has not given us one seed? Allah Ta'ala said, when I give you one ni'mah, one gift, and you have the akhlaq like the soil, the earth, then what do? Then people, they take that ni'mah and they distribute it to other people in the world. Subhanallah. Just like the seed was planted in the earth and it was cultivated, and the earth gave us the result. Trees, not one tree, many trees, and many fruits come off those trees and the branches, and that's why people appreciate the earth. So Allah Ta'ala says that that human being, individual who's attained one ni'mah, and then he distributes it across mankind in the makhluk, he spreads it, distributes it, he's a sakhi, he's generous. Allah Ta'ala says his wealth, his children, and his ni'mas are put so much barakah that he cannot even imagine. You cannot even imagine how much barakah they put. And he doesn't know that from where are all these things increasing. He thinks around me, my wealth, my children, my progeny, Allah Ta'ala says that I don't stop. But when I stop it, you can try thousands of times, you will not attain anything. But when I increase and multiply and put barakat, then I give it without any limit. This is due to the akhlaq, due to conduct. So if we conceal the faults of others, if we distribute the rewards of Allah to other people, and if we assist other people, what a great hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on this ibadah. Such a big hadith. And many times we see these examples in front of our eyes every day. It's not difficult that many people have a need with other people. One individual, if he goes to assist somebody, or somebody has a pain, somebody who's sick, somebody goes to assist someone, to assist somebody in need, to aid somebody, and you fulfill their need. So many hadith in this respect, but there are two hadith here that I'll mention. That one person, if he does an action that with another human being, what does he do? 10 years. That he does ittikaf, he will get better than that reward if he does this action. And there's another hadith that 20 years doing ittikaf in Masjid al-Nabawi, you will get more reward if you do this action. Allah, but if you assist somebody, help somebody, go to somebody in need, aid somebody, somebody has given them encouragement, whatever qualities Allah has given to you, you're going to assist people. Imagine the Islamic environment, society that we can create. What it could be if we take this action of helping others, assisting others. This becomes our life. And we do Islah on this basis. Then will there be enmity left in mankind, in society? If you help somebody, will he remain your enemy? Of course not. It doesn't matter how big he is your enemy beforehand, he will become your friend and he will love you. And me and you and everyone around us will have lives full of sakina, satisfaction, peace and love. And everyone meets each other with love. We won't even realize the enmity and the differences between us. And this is the quality and the characteristic of the Islamic society. And this is what was there before in the Islamic society. Allah is so pleased when a person fulfills the needs of another person. So when, if you help somebody, yaqeen and most definitely that a person is dependent on somebody. Everyone depends on other human beings in some sort of sector of life. Okay, if not, then at least you can speak to someone. If you don't want money, the person doesn't want money from you, nothing from you. He just wants that you speak a few nice, sweet words with him so he feels sakina in his heart. So many people are this. This is like counseling. Isn't in English to counsel someone, to advise somebody, to discuss things with somebody? You sit down with someone, advise them, explain to them. This is basic rules of Islam. These are basic rules. And what is the foundation? Our foundation, our center point is the masjid, where you can say people come and meet and discuss things with each other and solve each other's issues and counsel them. Whether people have problems and issues and distresses, the masjid is the house of protection. In the house of Allah, they have the ulama, the scholar, the aima, the people who meet the people from society and they speak with their sweet words and they soften the people's hearts and they advise them, they assist them, they help them, they direct them, they coach them, they give them guidance. So imagine the status of the ulama, the scholars, the aima, the scholars who give time to society, who have the precious pearls in their heart, in their minds. And there's somebody from society who comes to Hazrat, tell me this, Imam Sahib, I have a masala. The Imam sits down straight away in the corner of the masjid, gives that person time, solves his problem through his knowledge, the ocean of his knowledge, he assists. Imagine the maqam of that scholar, the status of the scholar. Allah Ta'ala has given him that ni'mah and he's distributing that ni'mah, and scholars do this. And today, mashallah, there are good imams like this who help others, who go to meet people, to see people, to ask them what help they need, what great rank they have. The imams of the masjid, he has someone ill, he's gone to his house to ask. He went and asked, you're ill, I heard you're ill, I've come to meet. They go to their door, they call out their name. So Allah Ta'ala elevates their maqam, their rank, their status. And to see a person like this, I'm so happy. And we are so happy. So what did I say? Counseling. Giving people counseling or coaching or direction in life. People spend money to get counseling. And counseling and coaching and giving advice is a basic action of Islam. If today Allah Ta'ala gives love to somebody in their heart. My brothers, ibadat we do. We worship. But success is on this ibadah, I'm telling you today. This ibadah of akhlaq, of social, high level of social conduct, manners and intercourse, social intercourse. And brothers, this is in the minus in our society today. For example, when we talk about people today, he does this, he worships like this, he's an abid. But we don't come towards this deed. That mashallah, he's a pious brother. He helps other people. He assists other people. We don't go towards this. We don't even give this any consideration. Is this some action? This is how he's a foolish person. He wastes his time going and helping other people. Why doesn't he run his shop, his business? Why does he keep talking rubbish, running after people and interfering in other people's affairs? We say this, don't we? To somebody who helps people in society. Society, but he's not from his heart. So we have the earth. Where do these qualities come from? The quality of Mother Earth. Because remember, the earth is the foundation, it is the pivot, it is the source of goodness and akhlaq. If we don't lower ourselves, humble ourselves, if we don't bring about the qualities of the earth and the soil into our lives, then we cannot have good akhlaq. Let's take the other example of softness, gentleness. The earth is soft and gentle. It gives love. And this is the quality of a mu'min. Because we were manufactured from the earth and the soil. Why have we distanced ourselves from the earth and the soil? Why don't we understand our genuine source where we are from? It is not degraded. We're not degraded if we humble ourselves to the qualities of the earth. Once to the masjid of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came a person and he urinated in the masjid. And the Sahaba ikram, they ran to him and said, what are you doing? You disrespected the masjid? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, don't say anything to him. You should be gentle with him. You've been created to give the example of gentleness. Just wash the urine away with water. What difference does it make? Subhanallah. Rasulullah didn't rebuke him, tell him off. With akhlaq, nice gentleness was the response. But today, if we are soft with people and gentle with people, Allah Ta'ala loves gentleness, then tomorrow Allah Ta'ala will be gentle with us. Tomorrow, if we are strict with people, that's not good. Rasulullah wasn't stern and strict. Rasulullah said, was told that I've not created you as stern and strict and firm. I've created you gentle, a person who comforts others. And this is the praise of the Prophet. And this was in his quality, gentleness, coolness. But where's all of this gone from us? Because we don't consider ourselves in the soil, from the dirt, from the earth. We consider ourselves powerful, solid, robust. We think we're the best. So this is the example we're getting from the soil, earth, and the biggest point, the quality within the soil and earth, which is the completion of akhlaq, which makes the person the highest in status close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about which Allah ta'ala said that Allah ta'ala is mahmubin, and their quality, the walis of Allah, they are made through this, and that is tawaza, humility. To be humble, humbleness, humility is the great characteristic and quality of human being, the highest form. And this is where all the haqq comes from, the akhlaq comes from. The highest status for a human being, Allah Ta'ala says, when a person's he shows and demonstrates humility and humbleness, this makes the person, well, you know, we have, for example, in our society, families and Chaudhrys and Sayyid and Faruqi and Siddiqi and titles. Now, Allah Ta'ala says, these titles and names and families are not for greatness or power. This is for identity, to recognize each other. There's no one better than another person or promoted another above another person. And we follow this. We think that one caste cannot get married, tribe cannot get married to another tribe. It's hard to find a partner or a marriage partner. If you're in this tribe or caste, then fine, we'll do the rishta. So there's extreme pride in society today that Muslims, people don't meet each other. He is from this sect, I'm from this sect. I'm a Sayyid, he's not a Sayyid. I'm from this tribe, this. I'm a Khan, he's a Chaudhry, I'm a Khan. I'm not this family. Wherever we go, we see the tribes or sects and groupings. Allah Ta'ala says these were created with borders for recognition and identity. There's no doubt. The Quran has mentioned this, that this is for recognition. But don't consider yourselves as powerful and better than others. This is your nasl, your progeny. But this isn't some achievement that you are belonging to a certain grouping or family member. The achievement is in humility and humbleness. That's where the elevation comes in people. In any human being, we have to see if he is great and good, then there's humility and humbleness in the person. Otherwise, the opposite to that is pride. And there's no worse sin than pride. And that's close to kufr. And there's no higher reward or better action than humility and humbleness. So these are two opposite things. Pride, the worst sin, close to kufr. And humbleness, humility, the best deed. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat in front of Baytullah Sharif, and there was a person, he was wandering around, and he had a problem, you know, there was blood oozing. And where was he going? The subhanallah, that, you know, people, they lay out the cloth, and then they put the food out, and the people eat the food, and this was the custom of the Arabs. So wherever he was going, people are removing their cloth, and they're not giving him food, and they're looking at his body. He's got wounds on his body, and the blood is oozing. He had a skin disease, and the flies and insects are coming to his body. And the Prophet ﷺ called him, Ta'al hina, come to me, why don't you come and eat with me the meal, share the meal with me, subhanallah. Come to me and sit with me. Why don't you come and sit with me and partake of the meal with me? And share that, O servant of Allah, Allah has given you these wounds. That this has taken away thousands of examples of pride from you. That Allah has given you this illness and this disease. So Rasulullah invited him and he sat down. Humility, being humble, sharing. And then, subhanAllah, imagine the humility and the humbleness of the Sahaba Ikram, and look at us today. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And people say today we are Faruqi, we are from the blood of Faruqi. This doesn't make any difference. Where, Faruqi Sahab, is the humility in your life? Where's the humbleness in your life? Why do you speak about your name and your rank and your chain of family? Speak about the humility of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Now, in the final days, close to the time of his death, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, his final days, he was in the phase of greatness, spiritually and physically. When a person's about to depart, then he's at the extreme, the heights of everything. He's achieved everything in life. And spiritually he was at the height, spiritually. And physically he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, half of the world within his control. Within his control, Khilafah, and he's departing from the world. SubhanAllah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. In Masjid al-Nabwi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his son Abdullah bin Umar was there. And Hazrat Umar said, my son, Abdullah. And he said, yes, my father, my dear father. He said that, take everything of mine from here, no mat, nothing, and my beard and my face rub it in the dust. And he could not do this. And he took his son and said to him again, that Abdullah, listen to what I'm saying. I am giving you the instruction that my face, that put it on the floor, put my beard onto the dust on the ground. And he had to listen to the instructions. So where today has Hazrat Umar's, his quality, his status, his recognition, his practice, that generation with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at his humility, his greatness, and what a great generation. Another point I remember now. Listen, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu used to do a dua, a supplication before passing away. He said, "Oh Allah, that please accept a prayer of Umar's, that the time that I spent with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that please take the accounts from that time. Please account me for that period. Please judge me on that period. But the time after that, after Rasulullah ﷺ passed, please do the transaction with me, that I don't want the reward for my deeds, but please Allah, don't question me for my deeds after that. That subhanAllah, there's so much danger that I am under threat, I will not succeed. But please don't account me for the time after the Prophet ﷺ passed away. Just account me for the time during his lifetime." SubhanAllah. And imagine this, that Rasulullah ﷺ is given him the glad tidings, and when he passes away, he's buried next to Rasulullah ﷺ. And until the day of Qiyamah, whoever goes to give salam to Rasulullah ﷺ is also giving salam to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Whoever goes to Rasulullah ﷺ to give salam, then he will also go to the ghulam, to the companion, and he will give salam, except for the unfortunate people who won't give salam. They have nothing to say. So, subhanAllah. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, his face was put on the ground and he said, "Allah, that today if you do not forgive Umar, if today you do not forgive Umar, then Umar, then he is in a very dangerous situation and he will lose out. He will lose out." In other words, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu could not trust what is going to happen to him after the death. And where is he passing away? On the dust, on the soil. It's being told that I was dust and clay and soil, and that dust and soil I was, and that has to be higher, because all of our qualities and characteristics should be the same as, and then if we drop below that, then we have no akhlaq in our lives. So my brothers, this is the reality of the human being, which we don't try to make effort, and we don't understand, we consider ourselves better than other people. The dust and the soil, when it flies in the air, here's another example here, that when the dust and the soil, it blows in the wind, it comes onto our eyes and we remove it from our eyes. Yeah, so that earth and the soil, it doesn't stay on us. But when it's on the earth, we don't say nothing to it. We don't pester it. So what a beautiful point here, is that when the earth or the dust blows out from the earth, when it blows in the wind, we want to get it away. So a person, for example, when he wants to be high and powerful, he does wrong actions, he swears at people, beats people, oppresses people. So just like the dirt and the soil comes on our eyes and we brush it away. So what's the reason here? Is that people by force, they respect a person due to his power. But they say he's a wretched person. But come sit down with us, and they talk to him, because we don't respect this person, then we will be in a bad position. It's just like that dust and the soil that comes into our eyes and we're trying to brush it away. So that person, he thinks he's big, he's high in status, but the ajiz, who respects the earth that's on the soil, that's on the earth, on the crust of the earth, subhanAllah, so he lowers himself, he's humble, he's sincere, and people say, "Oh, he's a fakir, he's a good person," they respect him. So brothers, we need to be like the clay, the soil, the dust. But this maqam, how do we get this? All of the situation with regards to akhlaq is related to the soil and the earth. So if we don't make our akhlaq like the soil, then when we die and lowered into the grave, then three, you can say, fistfuls of soil will be thrown onto us. That you came from the soil, you've gone back to the soil, and you'll be raised from the soil. It's better that you lived your life with the qualities and the characteristics of the soil and the earth. And I said, if we don't consider ourselves as humble and have humility, then we cannot attain the rank that we should have. Then we will fail. Then subhanAllah, if we are humble, we have humility, I can sit everywhere in the world, I won't think I'm better, I've got this much education, this many degrees and qualifications, or I'm educated and these people are illiterate. No. SubhanAllah. That person, if you know and realize that he has so many qualifications and wealth, and he's sitting with normal people in the village and he's sitting and eating with them, beautiful feeling. That nur rains down on that person who is humble And since sitting in the village, and he doesn't demonstrate any sort of status or power to show classification, he's got wealth, or he lives in good surroundings, or has a high quality of life, nothing. So this is the reason a person should be humble and sincere. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says that, for example, you've got a degree or education that allows you to earn better than others. Never fall into the trap to consider yourself better, because who is the greatest? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And who gives? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the greatest personality in this world was the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we have to look at his lifestyle and what were his manners and his demonstration of akhlaq and how he showed it to us and practiced it. The Subhanahu to leave the dastarkhwan, the straw mat, to sit on the dust. Allahu Akbar. The great people would come, he would leave them and sit with the poor people. He would address the poor people first, give them first, ask them first, help them first. Why? Because a person's heart should not break. A person's heart should not break. So these things, to attain this, we don't try, we don't make effort, we don't consider it ibadat or worship, we don't think this is our objective, our destination. We have forgotten our objective. We've forgotten what is our genuine purpose of life. Because nowadays, sitting in the khankahs, going to the walis of Allah, sitting in their company, listening to their discourses, giving their khidmah, doing their khidmah, serving them, has changed. Today the world is totally different. The khankah, the mahal, the environment has gone. The peers, the walis of Allah, where people used to go and sit with them for islah, rectification, and 40 years, 30 years, people used to spend their life in the company of the sheikh, and the color would automatically rub off onto those people, and they would sit with the soil, the earth, and become like the earth and the soil. The takabbur would go, pride would go, showing off would go, haughtiness would go, pride would go, power, ego would go, everything would disappear. Because the humble people, who are the walis of Allah, the sincere people, they would give their qualities and characteristics and teach them to others. But if we consider ourselves better than others, Allah says in my kitab, in my book, that person is worth nothing. If we consider ourselves better than others in any sector of life, in any way, if I consider I'm better than somebody, then that day spiritually I'm destroyed. Remember this point. Remember this one. I swear by Allah that death is a big reality. A big reality. Even if I've got ibadat which are less, I'm not good in worship, multitudes of worship, fair enough. Allah Ta'ala will be merciful. But these problems with relation to conduct, manners, and the way we treat others and appear before others, then Allah Ta'ala says, then you will have the punishment. But if you excel in this subject of akhlaq, then you will go high in the rank, in the status. So we need to grab hold of this worship deed, ibadat. And where do we get this akhlaq from? From the purity of the heart. If our heart is purified, then the person humbles himself. He has humility. If your heart is soft, your body is soft. If your heart bows down truthfully, honestly, then you will bow down and you will be humble. And you will demonstrate humility. So if the heart is spoiled, then the whole body is spoiled. The stomach, the hand, the finger, everything. But when the humbleness comes into the heart and it bows down and is soft and tender and gentle, then the human being, he bows down below the people. And people think, how's he changed? He's become so soft. And we've seen people like this in our Aqabirin, our pious predecessors. People saw these things happen to serve somebody or to become bayah to Hazrat Thanvi Ramdhrim. So many people came. There was a collector, Mazhub. And he was very high status in a worldly sense. Worldly, physically, for example, we see today somebody who's very educated today. Let's take some professions today, very high level of education and qualification. So he was the same. And spiritually, he was very humble. He had humility. He was simple. Great akhlaq. We cannot imagine why. Because he said himself. And his statements and sayings are very beautiful and great. And you will hear them and you will read them. And he was a very great khalifa of Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullahi. He had high status. He said, I've become Hazrat Sohbat, Hazrat's company, my Shaykh's company has made me like the earth, the soil. Subhanallah. And people, they knew at that time in that generation, like me and you are sitting here, and if we consider that, what should we work on? What we think is good, we start practicing that. But there, today, is nobody to explain that this is the purpose of life. This is what we need to achieve. That meaning, the understanding is not there in our life today. We say externally we are fine, but we don't go towards the asal, the genuine objective. And that's when a person looks for the wali of Allah, to attain inner peace, to attain purification, tenderness and gentleness of the heart. And he does dhikr, learns what is dhikr, what we attain from dhikr. What is the objective? Then a person sits with the wali of Allah. So at least a person once in the week should make a routine. Then inshallah that color, that form, that appearance, that practice, that demonstration of akhlaq will come into the person's life. Never will he lose out. Never can a person leave the gathering of the wali of Allah empty handed. This is the law of Allah, that I will not send you empty handed from the gathering, the majlis of my wali. You will take something. You will take something. But there are people who play games, who think, oh, I don't feel like coming here. Oh, I don't feel like doing tasbih. Oh, my mind and my heart don't go towards dhikr. This is the attack of shaitan. And the asool is one that when you attend a majlis and you have a shaykh, then just close your eyes and blindly follow that path and take the guidance and direction. Allah Ta'ala says, has given you the heart that follow the hukum of the shaykh, then the teacher. He will train the heart and coach the heart. And we say, no, I can't do this much tasbih. I'd rather do the durood sharif or this and that. These are all ibadat. But if the trainer, the coach, is giving you advice, take the prescription. If you go to a chemist, a pharmacy, there are hundreds of medicines. And you go, if you go and stand there in a chemist, and I stand there, and if I go Derby Street, a chemist, a pharmacy, and can I count how many medicines there are within that pharmacy? There will be thousands in there. Thousands you will see, isn't it? Can you consume all of those? Can you buy all of those? Can you utilize all of those? So the painkiller that will work is the one that the doctor prescribes. You can go and take prescriptions and he'll come and take you a bottle due to the prescription according to the physician's advice, and you will be your problem will be solved. So the same way spiritually, you have to take the guidance and the coaching from the shaykh. If you follow your desires and opinions in your own direction and course, then shaitan has advised you. If your shaykh says to you 10 times, you have to say Allah, Allah, Allah in the morning, that's it. That's enough for you. But people are doing much more, thousands, and they're doing this dhikr and adhkar, and I don't think this is enough for me, then he's lost, that person, in the darkness. The objective is to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness. Yes, Allah's love, Allah Ta'ala's razai haq, we want to attain. So if you're being given an easy prescription to attain Allah Ta'ala's raza, why do you want to put yourself into difficulty? As a Thanvi Rahmatullah said, that if the teacher is giving you the easy guidance, then why do you oppose that and reject and say, I want to read manzil and I want to read the ruchi this many times and do this ibadat? Then Hazrat said, do this what you want, but we want to give you the easy route to Allah Ta'ala's nearness. If you think your objective is something else, then you will be lost in the darkness. My Hazrat Rahmatullah stated that sometimes people are given different guidance and different prescriptions and adhkar. The objective is razai haq, the raza of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat, my shaykh stated, what a beautiful point. The objective isn't in how much, how many, when, etc. No. So when we have hopes and desires, this is not the reality, and this is against adab of the teacher. If we do dhikr and we want to see an endpoint, a conclusion, a feeling, an emotion, or physical effects, this is disrespect. Allah Ta'ala says, Hazrat said, whether you feel or not, see or not, etc., this is not the objective. The objective is Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. So whenever we have a teacher, a guide, and he explains what to do, and we follow the instructions, then we are lowering ourselves, humbling ourselves to the quality of the earth, and we will attain Allah's nearness. Another hadith is stated that the taste of ibadah is achieved when a person has akhlaq, complete akhlaq. If you want enjoyment from salah, enjoyment from recitation of Quran, and from Hajj and Umrah, we want satisfaction and peace, then we need to elevate our akhlaq, and you'll get the best taste from our Umrah and our Hajj. You will not forget these ibadat, nor the recitation of the Quran will be forget. Such a beautiful, pure life will come through akhlaq, the greatest akhlaq. So we need to sparkle and polish our akhlaq and manners and conduct. And how do we do that? We need to purify our hearts through dhikr of Allah, attend the majalis, the good majalis. And if we have a shaykh, a teacher who gives wazifa, then stick to it, adhere to it. Don't follow your opinions, your prescriptions, your methods and formulas. No. Stop. Listen to the shaykh's guidance. Close your eyes and follow that line, whether you enjoy it or not, whether your heart feels or not, whether you feel that emotion or not, whether your body and mind and soul feel it or not. But the guarantee is given by the wali, the shaykh, that you will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you follow this prescription that I'm giving to you. That's it. End of story. What else do we need? What else do we need? I wrote once in the early days to my Hazrat, to my Shaykh, Hazrat, I have murids and they've got kashf and karamat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started to send the murids and I was the Shaykh. And I was given the ijazah in the early days when Hazrat gave me ijazah permission, and my murids then started to see dreams and this and that. This student of mine seeing this and he said to me this, and I wrote. And Hazrat said that you are the Shaykh and they're seeing the kashf. They are seeing the vision. You know, when people are new, they are graduated from ilm, the ulama ikram, they do this as well, and this fatwa and that fatwa. So we Sufis, when we're new into this path, we start seeing kashf or visions or dreams, and they're sitting in front of me on maraqaba and nothing's happened to me. So I wrote to my hazrat, to my sheikh, the hazrat, this man, he came and he had this kashf and he had this feeling, he had ziyara, and he's at your ziyara and he's saying this to me and nothing's happening to me. And then hazrat wrote back, subhanallah, that Hazrat said to me, that is this not enough that you are reciting the name of Allah? That look at what you were before. And now, so I'm just telling you from my words, that look what you were before. Is this not enough for you that you are reciting Allah's name? If they're having kashf, but you are the one who is reciting the name of Allah, and you are higher. The person with kashf, vision, dream, hallucinations, feelings, this is not some miracle or achievement. Hazrat said that you are the one with the kashf, the miracle, that you are saying the name of Allah and the effect is reaching those people around you, your students. So you are the highest status. So if Allah has hidden your rank and your status, then Allah has hidden this. So the sheikh is always the sheikh. So that generation came and went. We're sitting, we are boxes, empty boxes. But what people of greatness they were. In one reply, and Hazrat changed my life. I couldn't even imagine that after that I wanted to think about kashf or dream or karamat. People come and my marids tell me, and I say, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. I listen with silence and I give a reply and comfort, and never felt that I'm lower or inferior. No, Hazrat gave one response and gave Islah in that one response. So with this niyyah, we should go to the Shaykh with the desire, because this is the majlis of tasawwuf. So that's why I'm explaining these points to you. Otherwise, there's no other reason, objective of me speaking. So this is the point. The reason why we do dhikr, understand why we do dhikr, why do we go to the company of a wali wala? We aren't going to a wali wala to become a peer or a khalifa. We don't want status or rank. We come for one thing. We want to attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nearness. That's all we're looking for. We keep on looking for Allah, and whatever method has been given to us, we need to grab hold of that with firmness. And inshallah, Allah ta'ala will give the good news. And it's been explained to us that you do this, inshallah, you will not leave this world empty-handed. You will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we move off the path, off the track, and follow our own whims and desires, then there's no guarantee that person will succeed. So anyway, this was a short summary. May Allah ta'ala give us a high akhlaq and give us the qualities and characteristics of the earth. We need to pay attention to this. This is an easy path and the great path to have the akhlaq of the earth and the soil. That let's make the hearts for people, mend the broken hearts. That what benefit am I giving to the human beings around me? That's it. Even if I give the benefit of the hair's width and weight, then that day is the best day for you. So much enjoyment I get, I tell you myself, that for example, somebody asked me for the way, where's this street? I feel like I take that person to that street alleyway and take him myself. Leave my work, here's the way. You want to go to this house? I'll take that person to that house. I feel like take him to that door number, to the house, to the street, and wander around with him in the streets. This is even a great opportunity. You're going to do something, someone asks you for the path, the way, so you leave your job and your activity and show that person the way. Let me tell you, they sit in my car and I'll take you there first where you want to go. Guide the person, assist the person, help the person. Don't say, is he a Hindu or a Sikh or a religion? No, he is a human being. The creation of Allah. Allah loves his creation. Remember this point. Allah loves his creation. That's it. May Allah elevate us, and then the maqam, the status will come. Recite Durood Sharif.